isn't because I want you guys to be blessed. You know, we're blessed. First of all, God tells us to do it. But second of all, we're blessed. And God blesses us, even up to a hundredfold return. Who wants, what business gives you a hundredfold return? Amen? Well, God does. Amen? Amen. Isn't he awesome? But anyway, there's a couple of things I want to announce, and this is in your bulletins. And I hope you read the pastor's corner. But anyway, it says, many thanks to every member of Victory Life Church for their generosity and support over the past year. As a body, we have been able to bless many families and individuals to show the love of Jesus. We have also accomplished many things on the church grounds and the sanctuary youth building. This is by the grace of God and your obedience to the Spirit leadings. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we do thank you. A lot of people, I mean, you guys give awesome. We have been able, this little church has been able to help a lot of people. And we will continue to do so as God allows us. And we want to do more and more. We need to do more and more. There are so many homeless people out there. We need to, there's so many things that we need to do as a body, but you know, we are limited in a sense. Also, pray that we have wisdom, because, you know, not only do we want to do what God wants us to do, but we want to do the right thing. Amen. And we have been able to bless, and I appreciate that so much. So whatever you give, it goes right to the Lord's work. Amen. God has been good. God has been so good. And I really feel his presence here today. And what I want to talk about, this is really neat. I hope you guys enjoy our bulletin. You know, Rick comes down here every week and does this bulletin for us. But here, if you forgot your Bible, yes, amen. We appreciate you, Rick, a whole bunch. And isn't Mr. Silas the cutest little thing you've ever seen? He is going to grow up to be a mighty man of God. Amen. We thank you for the anointing. You know, I don't know if Dana remembers this, but when PJ, when Rachel and Paul brought PJ into this church the very first time, a brand new baby, God had a word over him, and you know, it has come to pass. So God wants to bless us. God's heart is to bless his people. God wants to bless us. So if you need blessings today, reach out, because, and believe big. Don't believe little, believe big. And that's what we're going to talk about. But anyway, on the back, if you forgot your Bibles, there is our notes, sermon notes, so you can go right to them. And this is what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use them. Why should I go to my Bible? But anyway, my Bible is falling apart. But I know for Christmas I got enough money to buy me a new Bible. I'm so excited because I cannot have, thank you, Paul. I cannot have just any old Bible. I have to have my Spirit-filled Bible that I've had for the last 15 years. That's what I got to have. So I got online, and I'm really, thank you, Lord, for my son Michael, because he is so precious. And he worked late this morning. He called me up and says, I haven't left yet, Mom, and it was so foggy. But the Lord, I said, well, Paul, don't get up, Michael. Don't worry about it. Because usually he goes home, sleeps for an hour, he gets up, and he comes to church. But anyway, I was doing my order online, and I couldn't figure it all out. I had to wait for Michael to get home. It's my advanced age. What can I say? But God has been so good to me. I want you guys to know that I turned 77 years old this like a week and a half ago. I am old. Yes. Well, I can remember as a little girl, remembering when you were little, if you can remember that far back, but I can remember I counted up to 2,000 and I thought, oh, nobody could live that old. I made it across 2,000. Here I am, trucking on down the road. But anyway, today we're going to talk to one of my favorite people in the Bible named Joshua, God's man. You know, look, guys, this is the truth. This is the most exciting book you will ever read in your whole life. It has so many stories in it. Sometimes the stories are used, and I've told God, I said, God, you really didn't have to share that. We didn't need to know that, really. But you know what God does? He gives you the good, the ugly, the bad. And he says, okay, what are you going to do with it? You know, and it's all for our benefit. It's all for our benefit. But this is the most awesome book in all the world. It is worth its weight in gold. You will never, never, never be alone if you have this Bible. You will never be bored if you have this Bible. God's word is so exciting. It's like, wow, God did all that. God said all that. So we're going to talk about Joshua, God's man. And I love guys. I have four sons. And I have a wonderful daughter. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me my daughter. But I love my sons. And guys don't have it easy. Will you guys agree with that? I mean, like, you know, I've worked all my life, ever since I was a little girl. This is going to make you guys cry. But somebody asked me, how long have you been working? And I said, well, my mother made me a little cotton sack when I was about 8 years old. Ain't that sad? And I have been working ever since then. But, you know, you see people in the old days going out and picking cotton literally by their hands. I did that as a kid. I did that. We had to do that. My father was a cotton farmer. And you didn't in those days say, I don't feel like not working. You worked. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine telling my daddy I didn't want to go to work. He'd say, are you crazy? You get out there in that field. And there I went. But anyway, guys, I could have never went to work. I could have laid out all my life. I'm glad I worked. I like working. But on the other hand, if my son Paul decided he would never go to work, people would think he was a lazy bum, wouldn't they? Why isn't he out working? So guys are a lot are expected out of guys that even today we girls can get away with, you know, sort of. Do you guys agree with that? You know, and you know, I'm for women having all the rights. I mean, my grandmother walked in to get women's votes, so she was right there. So I am for equal rights and all of this stuff, but God does expect some, I think, a little bit more out of you guys. Sorry. But you're up to it, amen. You can do it. When God calls his men to be mighty men of God, isn't that a great thing? Isn't that a great thing? So today we're going to talk about someone named Joshua. And Joshua shows up. You want to do the first slide? Joshua shows up, and they have just left Egypt. They've been in slavery. The children of Israel have been in slavery for over 400 years. And they leave. God delivers them out of Egypt into the promised land. And all of a sudden, and I think that before they even cross into the wilderness there, that Joshua and Moses had connected, because Joshua is called, okay, he is called the 13th verse. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. There is one person that's there with Moses all the time, and you will find him, and he's Joshua. He is always there helping Moses, doing whatever Moses needs him to do, and he never stops. He's a young man at this time. 40 years on, he's still with God. He's still with Moses. He's still being faithful in God's house with God's man. Amen. So there he is. He said, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I'll give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountains. Now, if you go back and you read this, God tells the people, do not touch that mountain. Don't let your animals touch the mountain. Don't go near that mountain, because if you go near the mountain, you're going to die. But there's one person that stays at the bottom of the mountain while Moses goes up, and that guy is named Joshua. Isn't that neat? I mean, here's God's man. God always has his man. You want to be God's man or woman today? I do. I do. Amen. And I want to go into the promised land. I don't have 40 more years, probably, to go around that mountain. Amen. So anyway, so we see where all through this, Joshua is there. Joshua is there. Even when, listen to the Exodus 32:17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people and they shouted, he said to Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. You read this. Guys, your assignment is to read Exodus and to read Joshua. But what happened in that instant is that Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights getting the law. All of this is taking place. Well, the people get bored. They have nothing to do. So they say, okay, you know, Moses, who knows where Moses is? He's probably dead up there. Joshua's down here. I mean, there's smoke and all this stuff coming out of this mountain, and they're scared to death. And God's already said, don't touch the mountain, you're going to die. So they're scared. So, but in the lapse of time, they get sort of bored, they have nothing to do, the TVs aren't working or whatever, no satellite out there. So they say, why don't we do this? Why don't we make an idol? We'll make this calf and we'll all worship it. I mean, hey, we can look at this calf and see it's God. I mean, who knows where God is? Who knows where Moses is? Who knows where anybody is? But we can make a calf and we can worship this thing, and it will take us into the promised land. Can you believe they believe that? So they're down there just playing around. They're not at war. They're doing really, really bad stuff. So God is really, really angry. And he tells Moses, I'm going to destroy every one of them. I'm going to raise up descendants from you, Moses. I have had it with these people. And Moses intercedes. He said, if you kill them, kill me first. And God relents. And this is what this verse is all about. What Joshua hears is not war. Is that they're playing around down there, goofing off, being very, very bad. So see how exciting the Bible is? Yeah. Would you guys have no thing? Can you just see all that going on? Amen. So anyway, we go on, and wherever Moses is, guess what? Joshua is right there with him. Joshua is right there with him doing what God has called him to do. Amen. Listen to this 33rd verse, Exodus 33:11. This is so neat, guys. It says, for the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Can you imagine that? God speaks to Moses face to face, just like I'm speaking to you today. I mean, he's the only person in the Bible besides Jesus that he speaks face to face to. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And he returned to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. He did not depart from the things of God. Isn't that awesome? Does that tell you something about Joshua? I mean, here, but can you imagine being that close to God? That here we are, we're just sitting here talking. Isn't it? Amen. This is my baby. He is so embarrassing. Have you ever noticed the babies in the family? I worked with this lady, and we would get, to, anyway, I ran into her, and she had her daughter. Her daughter was the baby, too, and I had Paul, and, you know, Paul's in his 20s or something, and I say, and this is my baby Paul, and she said, and this is my baby Rachel, and they smile, and don't say anything. You've really suffered, haven't you, Paul? Amen. He's so sweet. Well, let's go to the next slide. So are you guys enjoying this? Yeah. Isn't this awesome? Yeah. Amen. So let's go to the next slide and see what it says, because I've already forgotten. All right. So this is, so God, okay, let me go to this real quick. Probably because I've sort of lost where we're at. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. All right. This is where, okay, the children of Israel have made it to the promised land. They're like, okay, the promised land is there and they're here. And God says, all you had to do is go in and take it. But what we're going to do, we're going to send out 12 spies. They're going to look over the land and see what's going on there. So they come back after a period of time and they say, it's everything God says. I mean, they bring this cluster of grapes. I went to my little grandson, Sam, loves seedless grapes, and they were on sale, so I went and bought him some. So when he comes over today, he'll get them. He can only eat certain types. But anyway, this little cluster of grapes is not big. This cluster of grapes was so big, it took two men to carry it. So can you imagine that much? Those grapes were big, right? And they come after several days. They spied the land. They show up again, and they said, my gosh, it's everything God said it is. It's like awesome, awesome, awesome. You won't believe it. Look at these grapes. They said, but God forgot one little thing. He said, there's these giants in the land, and they are so big and powerful that there is absolutely no way on earth we can ever go into that land. We're not going to be able to do it. Well, God does not, so the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore, none of them will enter this land. Because you didn't believe me, you're not going to go in, except two people, Caleb and Joshua, who had a good report. Because they said, hey, it's true, they are giants, but we can take it, we can do it, because God's going to go with us, amen? Amen. Do any of you have giants in your land at this moment? Maybe the giant of debt, maybe sickness, maybe distress, maybe just you're worn out. You know, we're entering a new year, and every year, I mean, how many of you have been to 2019 before? None of us. It's a new year. We're going to go into that year, and we don't know what giants might be in that land. Amen. We don't know. But we know one thing, God's going to be there with us. Amen. So I know that all of you have been there, done this. Have you been through years where you look back and you thought, my God, how did I survive that year? I mean, it was so bad. You just thought, I'm not going to make it through this year so bad. But you do make it through, right? I mean, I could ask so many, all of you, and you could stand up and you could just tell me instance after instance where God has brought you through this year. But it was so hard. Wouldn't it be nice if there was just grapes and all this good stuff? None of these giants. Who wants giants? I think sometime I have missed God because I didn't want to fight that giant. I just said, God, I'm setting this one out. I don't want to fight it, you know, and miss what God had for me because I wasn't willing to fight and take it. Amen. And I know I've done that. We've done this with this ministry, but we don't have that. This year, God is saying, you're gonna get it all back. We're gonna go into this year and we're gonna win. Amen. Amen. Because there is grace and there is honey and there's good stuff. Amen. God wants us to go deeper and deeper with Him. I was watching this young man on TV and he was in Europe praying for people. He was just street ministry and he was just going down the street. Can I pray for you? You know how hard they say Europe, and I don't know if that's true, Nadine, or not, but that Europe is very cold towards the gospel. These people were open for the gospel. Man, they just wanted prayer. And I said, anyway, and this is neat about this young man that's coming, and I really am excited, and I really feel like it's God that he'd be here, because he is an English professor. I know. I said, does he know us Southerners? Amen. But not only is he an English professor, but he's an evangelist. Am I right? And he wants to evangelize this country, and he wanted to come here. And I think PJ met him online, and what, you know, PJ, the Air Force sent him to school to learn to be a Spanish, whatever. But he's supposed to keep it up. I don't know the official names for all this. But he's got to keep it up. But what he's doing now, his job that he's doing in the Air Force, is that job. So he got online and found, you know, he wanted to learn English better. PJ wanted to learn Spanish better, so they became friends. So anyway, that's how he's coming, in a sense. But anyway, I really feel, I'm very, very excited, because I feel like he's going to be able to stir us up. And this is what's good about the fasting. You know, really take it serious. And I used to fast. You guys would be so proud of me. I used to fast for days with my husband. I mean, now an hour is like a mountain. God, I can't eat candy for an hour. Surely, is it that bad that I really have to fast? I mean, it has got, and it's ridiculous because it's just the enemy. It's just a lie. I don't need anything but God. I can give up a week if I had to. I'm not going to, don't worry. Unless, I mean, it would really have to be God. It would be God. But really take it seriously and pray and say, God, what would you have me to do? Read this wonderful, instead of watching that TV rerun, turn it off, sit there and read the Bible for half an hour, and it'd be really neat. Amen. And take some time to pray and seek God, because I know there are mountains in your life that God wants to bring down. Amen. He wants to bring those mountains down. He wants you to conquer that mountain so you'll be bigger, stronger. One of the things this young man said, he said, you know, God saves us, and that's such an awesome thing. But then God expects us to get off of our lazy whatevers and get busy. Amen. Not busy about our business, but busy about Him. You know, what does God want us to do? I mean, there are things in our life that we must give up, so we can walk closer to the Lord. If there is something in your life that God is showing you, I need to give that up, please do. I mean, it might hurt, it might be, you might have to really pray through, I don't know. I know that there are some things in our lives that are really, really difficult. You know, Jesus said that, you know, if your hand offended you, cut it off. If your eye offended you, pluck it out. Well, we know that God didn't really mean for you to pluck your eye out or cut your hand off. But I believe what Jesus was saying there is that there are going to be things in your life God's going to demand you to give up that's going to hurt as bad as if you plucked your eye out or cut your hand off. Because He wants you to walk holy before Him. He has to have a holy people. He says, without holiness, no man will see me. Well, why are we going through all this if in the end we don't see God? I want to see God. Whatever it takes, I want to see God. I want to see Him. I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. And if I don't hear those, that would be the most devastating words that, I mean, wouldn't that be, how much worse could it be? Nothing would be that worse You know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Wouldn't that be horrible? I mean, it would just be, well, I can't even imagine. And we're not going to go there, amen, because we're going to fight the good fight of faith. So anyway, they have once again disappointed God. Amen. And once again, he is very, very upset with him, with them. So he says, okay, this is really a neat story. And if I ramble on too long, somebody wave your hand and say, time to quit. But anyway, this is such a neat story because they are told that they are not going to be able to go into the promised land, that they're going to have to go back into the wilderness where they will all die except Joshua and Caleb. And they all begin to cry. Can you imagine 3 million plus people wailing at the top of their lungs out there? That must have been a noisy group. You can just see it. And here, anyway, the next morning they get up and they say, you know, we were wrong, Moses. We'll go up. Right now we're going up. Moses says, I'm not going. The Ark of the Covenant isn't going. The priests aren't going. And they said, but we're going. Off they go. And, of course, they get beat, and they come back. They're really crying now. So off they hang their heads. Off they go back into the wilderness where they remain for 40 years until they all die off except Caleb and Joshua. See how much better it is to obey God? You know, you want to go into the desert for 40 years? I don't. I don't want to go in the desert at all. I don't like the desert. I like trees. I'm from Florida. Amen. No, people, I mean, it depends on what part. We had this really sweet couple that came here. He was stationed at Whiting Field going through the flight program, and they were from either New Mexico or Arizona, but they couldn't stand the trees. They said, oh, there are trees everywhere. And I said, yeah, that's wonderful. No. Arizona, we can see forever. And there's nothing in view to block our. So it just depends on where you're from. But I like trees, personally. I'm a tree person. So I wouldn't want to go back in the desert for 40 years. So anyway, so off they go. And after 40 years, they show up again. Amen. They finally, the 40 years, a whole new generations have come up. And they're back facing the promised land. This time, they go into the promised land. Isn't that neat? They make it. This new generation makes it. So we don't want to be like that old generation that dies off, do we? We want to accomplish what God has us to do. So go to the next one, the next slide, and we'll see where we're at here. Okay, this is really neat, because God has told Moses that he's not going in the promised land because of disobedience. He will die there. But he let him see it from afar. But he said, Joshua will lead the people in. And so he says, but encourage him. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that awesome? So God's not going, if God has told you to go somewhere to do something, he's going to take you higher. He's gonna require more out of you, but he says, I'm not going to make you go alone. I'm going to be with you. Amen? Doesn't that make you feel good? So he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has swore to your fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So this year, 2019, we're going to go into a new land. We don't know what is before us, but we know one thing. God will be there with us. Isn't that going to be awesome? God's going to be with us every step of the way. Amen, Kevin? Amen. God's going to go before us. And he says, I'll go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. God gives us all these wonderful promises. All we have to do is just go in and conquer the land. Amen. So I don't know what your giants will be this year. I don't know what mine are. Personally, I don't like giants. I want to bring them down to size. But I believe, because the greater one indwells me, that whatever that giant is, we're going to make it. Amen. As a church, as individuals, we're going to go and we're going to conquer the land. And so here we go. Let's get into Joshua. Let me turn to this. And guys, read Deuteronomy, read Joshua. You're gonna love them. They're awesome. You're gonna learn. And as long as, well, God, Joshua is just this tremendous, tremendous man of God. Well, go ahead and turn it. All right. So it says, we'll read this together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. See, several times it says, it calls Joshua Moses' assistant. How would you like to be Moses' right-hand man? But he earned it. That's what I want to bring. One of the things, Joshua will earn that because he was there all that time. He was there. He wholly, in one of the verses it said, Caleb and Joshua totally, fully served God. They loved God. They didn't hold back. They didn't hold back. Amen? Okay, the third verse. It says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man, listen to this, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Sixth verse. Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Seventh verse, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book, the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. This book, amen, this Bible, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. How often? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. If we don't do that, we're not going to be able to follow it. Amen. By then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want good success? You want to be prosperous today? Follow this book. Amen. This is our book. This book. Amen. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. We don't know what 2019 has for us. We know that as far as a country, we're facing tremendous problems, worldwide problems. If you really looked at it, you would become very depressed. So no use going there. Believe God. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe the same God that was with the children of Israel with us, and they're going to lead us into the promised land. Amen. But we don't know what 2019 holds for us as a nation. We don't know what 2019 holds for us individually or collectively. But we know who goes before us. Amen.
That's right.
We know. And he says, if you will follow me, guess what? I'm going to make your way prosperous, and I'm going to give you good success. Who would like to be prosperous and have good success? Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I could take that, even in my age. Amen. I'll take it. I was just thinking, what if one of us, you know what I pray for, is that if these mega millions, you know, just unreal. I didn't know there was that much money on earth. But anyway, just think, if we won that money, what we could do just in East Milton, I don't know, just being in East Mill, I've learned there are so many homeless people. There are so many people that are hungry. There are so many people that need help. Man, wouldn't it be neat we could set up where we could help these people? We could say, hey, for 1 year, we're gonna pay your bills. We're going to put your food on the table. We're going to send you to school. We're going to take care of you. And in that year, you'll be self-supporting. You'll be able to make your own way. And, I mean, what if we had the means to do that? Send them to school. Educate them. Take care of them. And whatever they decided they wanted to be. Whether they wanted to be a teacher, a professor, a carpenter, it wouldn't matter. But if we had the means that we could rehabilitate people, that we could get them on the road to success. See, that's what God wants. God wants his people to be successful. It breaks God's heart when he sees this. I mean, we have young people that come to this church on Wednesday night, and you know, they come in sometimes and they've said, Sister Claudia, pray, my daddy's in jail. Sister Claudia, pray, my daddy's out of jail, he needs a job. Sister Claudia, pray, my mama's in jail. I mean, it breaks your heart. But what if we had the means and the will? Well, maybe we don't. I remember Sister Teresa, Mother Teresa, who happens to be one of my favorite people, she said, you might not be able to feed the world, but you can feed one, perhaps you could feed one person. Well, maybe we can't educate the world, but maybe we can help one family. And we have done that this last year. We've helped families, we've fed families, We've put families up in the motel. We've tried to really turn their lives around. But there's so much more that needs to be done. And I know that God will give us the means to do it. God will, you know, all we have to do. And I think what God is saying here, he says, be, you know, not only do I want to encourage you, not only do I want to prosper you, but I want to do it even more than what you can imagine. Because God has work for us to do. He wants us to have the good life. I really believe God wants us to have the good life. You know, he doesn't want us to suffer and not know when our next meal is coming from. But he also wants us to give us wisdom so we won't be in that situation. Amen? Amen. And that's what we need. We need to pray for wisdom as a nation, that we can truly help people so they can accomplish what God. And there are giants in your life. I know there's giants in many of our lives. Maybe it's a giant of drugs. Maybe it's a giant of whatever. God can help you overcome that. He can truly, truly, truly help you overcome that. God can do it. All you have to do is just totally surrender yourself to him. If you haven't accepted Jesus, make that leap. Do it, because you'll be so glad. I don't know why people hesitate. I guess it's just in our nature that we hesitate before we totally surrender to the Lord. But once we do, we say, why did we wait? Because it's so awesome to have Jesus as your Savior. Amen, Dave? Isn't it wonderful to have Jesus as your Savior? You're never alone. He will lead you. He'll direct you. He will be your father, your mother, your brother, your whatever you need, he will be there for you. And that's another thing I think God wants us to do this year coming up, is he really wants us to become more evangelical. He wants us to get out, not maybe scream on the sidewalk. I'm not saying that we should do that. But what I'm saying is not waste an opportunity to witness about Jesus. And that God, that you'll give me the wisdom to know that that person needs you right now, that God will give me an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. That's what I want to hear. I want to be able to be a blessing. And I know that's what your heart is, to be a blessing this year, to really bless people. And so the Bible has already given us the what is it, Paul, I want to say?
The Bible has given us everything we need.
Yes, yes. He has supplied us with everything we need. Amen. All we have to do is walk in it. And I want you guys to get excited, to be encouraged. He said he's going to encourage us this year. He's going to walk before us. He said, I go before you. He's not going to leave behind. He's going to take us forward. And whatever 2019 holds, it's going to be good. And we've never went that way before. We've never been there before. But God is going to be there for us. Isn't it going to be awesome? So let's start sort of keeping journals, you know, so at the end of next year we can say, okay, what did God do? Well, he did this, he did this, he did this. Isn't it going to be awesome? Our testimony, I mean, so many of you have wonderful testimony. Larry, he's with us today. Amen. Aren't we happy? Amen, amen. When Dana called up and said he stopped breathing twice, and he said, pray, they're taking him to the hospital right then. I called everybody, get to pray, you know. And here he is. How many others? You know, your mom, Rick, so many miracles and miracles that God has given. And so much has been accomplished this year, but there's so much more that God wants to do. So I want to encourage you, be strong and of good courage, because God has much for us to do. Also, I felt like the Lord told me, and that's one thing I want to do in closing, is I feel like as a church we're going to grow, and God, and you guys, we appreciate you so much. We love you. You are so special to us. But I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart last night while I was studying and said that truly, this is the year that Paul and Rachel are going to come into the kingdom. Not that you're not in the kingdom, but what I meant. It gets more confusing all the time. They're in the kingdom. But what I mean is you're going to go totally into the promised land, and you're going to get the reward of all that God has for you in the promised land this year. So let's pray for our pastor and his wife and his children. Lord, we just lift them up right now. Lord, we thank you that truly the best is yet to come. And Lord, 2019 is going to be their year in every way, spiritually, monetarily, Lord. All that they have needed, your hand is going to provide, has provided. Lord, you've done so much in their lives, but there's so much more to come. And Paul, Rachel, I just see good things, good things. God's going to take you deeper in him. He's going to take you deeper.
But the reward is going to be great. And I know there's going to be giants because there's always giants. But you're going to be that guy, that girl, that lady, that whomever that's going to pull the giants down. You're going to be a giant slayer. That's what I was looking for. You're going to be a giant slayer. That's what Victory Life is going to be named for. Giant slayers. We're going to slay the giants, huh? Amen? We're going to pull them down. We're going to pull them down. Amen. The giants are going to be at our feet. Thank you, Jesus, that we are giant slayers, Lord. And we thank you, the greater one indwells us. And Lord, if there's one here that hasn't accepted you, Lord, let them get so excited about you, they're going to run to the altar, they're going to run to the cross. Lord, let this be a year that we do that over and over again. We run to the cross, we run to the cross. And Lord, help us to be quick to repent. Lord, help us to be quick to repent, to just put it all at your feet, Jesus. We thank you that you are a forgiving God. We thank you, Lord, that the giants are coming down and your word is going forth in power. We thank you, Lord, in power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for revival. Let revival fire fall. Let it fall on us, Lord. Let it begin with us, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you love us. You promised over and over in the scriptures that we've read today that you would never leave us. You would never forsake us. And we thank you that we have that promise. Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts wide that we can walk in your word, in your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. All right, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Wasn't that good? I know every time Sister Claudia preaches, she gets better and better and better. And I can't help, but I know this is like cheesy to everybody except for my family, you know, and Brother Rick, because Brother Rick and Sister Dan and Brother Larry, they've been here for so many years. But I know that Brother Fred is so proud of you, Mama. You know, I know he is, you know. She's so good. And I can just hear him saying, oh, she sure is pretty, ain't she? And she is. She's adorable, and I love her, and I'm blessed. Listen, guys, real fast, I just want to tell you something that the Lord has also been ministering to me big time about the number 7, and unless you've been counting, it's kind of weird, but this is, last week began. I've been the pastor of this church full-time for 7 years now. And Sister Claudia's been the associate now for 7 years because I was the associate and, you know, whatever. Okay. But anyways, man, we promote from the inside up around here. No. But God really has something big for this little church this year. He really does. There's been 7 years of... almost in a lot of ways, there's been 7 years of recalibrating, reforming, and this church is coming into, not coming into its own, but it's coming to that, hey brother, that level that God has for this season. And in a certain sense, there's been like an area of mourning, and God is, you know, told me, it's like, that time for you, Paul, is done. You know, it's time for you to claim, literally, what God has set aside for us. So we want to be obedient, and I just want to encourage all of you guys that you're all here for a reason. You know, pretty much to pay my bills. No, I'm playing, but God is good, right? That's what you say when you said too much. You're like, God's got a sense of humor. Okay, anyways, let's get serious real fast. You guys are here for a reason, okay? And if you have any kind of leadership position at all in this church, I strongly, strongly encourage you, starting Tuesday, to take part in this fast. You don't have to give up everything. Do what the Lord tells you to do. But give up something and spend that time in the Lord. Because much is going to be required of you this year. If you're in leadership, much is going to be required of all of us. Everybody that's part of this church, whether you're a member or you just come once in a while, we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We don't want to just be on the sidelines. Amen. We want to be that person that God has called us to be. And some of you, I know that, okay, everybody's volunteers here that are part of the leadership except for me and Sister Claudia. So I know it's extremely tough when you're trying to manage a family and your work schedule and all the things you have to do. I know it's hard to set aside that time to come up here. But listen to me. We're taking this thing, not we, but we're going to be obedient. But the Lord is really going to take this thing to the next level this year. Yes. So we need to get our game face on. We need to decide, what do I want to be? That this is not just me helping out Preacher Paul and Sister Claudia. This is me stepping in to be the person that God has called me to be. Yeah. Amen. To be in the ministry that God has called me to be, to operate in that anointing that He has given me. And James, you're going to start to write some songs this year. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying that when you first came here, that there was a little. We were praying, and I saw you with a notepad and pen, and I don't know. You're a very creative and very talented guy, and you can do pretty much anything you set your mind to. We all know that. But the Lord has there's a area in your life that I don't know how much you've messed with, but God is going to use you to pin the lyric and even the construction of songs themselves. So, I mean, that's something that, you know, that the Lord is going to start to work with you in. So, you know, just... it might seem silly at first. You just go with it. Go with the flow. Even when you're up here, just go with the flow. Let God speak through you. And Brother Lawrence, God's going to open up a... Hey, everybody, this is Brother Lawrence. Brother Kiwi's husband. Sister Kiwi's husband. The Lord... Thank you, Father, for blessing this man of God. Thank you for this mighty man of God and the word that you have given him. And what I see here, Brother Lawrence, is I see some more doors opening up for you. There's been a season of frustration, even when it looks like other avenues have closed up from time to time, or other people have seemed to advance. But the Lord's got what He has promised for you, and that fire that's burning inside you, like there's been times you're like, God, I got it. I got this message, and it's about to burst out through me, Lord. Now, you know I got this word because you have given it to me, Lord. Now, give me the audience. Well, the Lord is going to begin to open up more and more avenues for you to proclaim His gospel. And this is going to be a big year for you as well. God is going to bless the marriage. God is going to bless your family. And God is going to open up... let me just say what I'm seeing, and I think you'll get it. It's been like a lot of years, man, in almost every single area of your life, in like a single story living. Yes. Single story living. But what's, and there's like a sledgehammer, the Lord is just busting through to the next level, not just at Victory Life Church, but what God has called you to do with your ministry that the Lord has given you from before birth, and even your brother. Who preaches the gospel, that there's a whole nother level that's waiting for you, and there's been like a, in the spirit, a concrete division that is being shattered even right now as we speak, where God is advancing you and your brother to that next level in ministry. So just get ready and look for the opportunities, and you know, be on guard, because Satan really wants to take you out, man. Satan, not like he doesn't want to take everybody out, but Satan is scared to death of the word that you have inside you. He's scared to death of you living up to the potential that God has for you, and he really wants to knock you off of your feet. So be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, and know that God is going to take you to that next level this year, my brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want every one of you guys to pray for my dear friend Joe this week. Sister Sarah's husband Joe and my friend. Sister Sarah, bless her heart, I'm not trying to embarrass her. I love her like my own sister. She's so special to me. But she is going through so much, and she has a wonderful family support structure. But you know, man, we need one another. We need brothers and sisters in Christ to help us fight these battles. Yes. And man, I don't want her going through it alone. I love her so much. You guys, pray for her. Pray for Joe. Joe is my brother. Pray for one another. Amen? Tomorrow, 12:30, Whataburger on Stewart Street. We're going to have men's Bible study. You can come on out for that. On the 13th, we got John Albano or something like that from Santa Marta, Colombia. It's going to be awesome. Now, we need to prepare ourselves. God has told me to tell you guys, and I don't say that. I know that sounds kind of weird, God told me. So I don't just say that. I'm saying God wants us to be prepared. God wants us to prepare ourselves that we are ready to receive from this brother. Okay? I really felt led that it was very important to have him up here. Okay? So God wants to do some big things in your lives. Invite some friends for the 13th. Remember to bring him some American snacks. This dude is all healthy and he works out all the time. Let's make this dude have to buy an extra ticket home. Let's make him show... You make them show what America is all about. I'm talking about Twinkies and Slim Jims. And bring him some treats, man. So when he walks in this motel room, he's like...
Cadillacs.
And Cadillacs, yes. But give me, if you're getting a Cadillac, get me one. No, no, I'm playing. I'm playing. Because people in here will buy you a car if they know you need one. I'm just saying. Get some treats for the guy. Yeah. There's three dates that are in your bulletin where you should take this guy out to eat and then leave him, because that'll like really freak him out because he's not from America. But take him out to eat and say you'll be right back, like you're going to the bathroom, and then just leave him there. No, don't do that. Do not do that. But it would be kind of fun for a minute to like dress up like a cop, have your buddy dress up like a cop and say, sir, no, don't do any of that. Don't do any of that. Listen, if you want to take him out to dinner, that would be a big blessing for him. He's a great guy, and I know the Lord will bless you for it. You want to have him over for dinner? Have him over to dinner. Show him what Southern hospitality is all about. I love you guys so much. Wednesday, get up here. Tuesday, start your fast. Not a diet. I'm not talking about a diet. All right? I want you to fast. Set some time aside to spend with the Lord. This is our year. This is our year to grow in our relationship like never before. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your will being done in this land, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. We rebuke the divisions amongst the people, Lord, in the different churches, Lord, that we are one body, Lord, that we are in unity, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that there's unity in this house, Lord, unity in our homes and in our families, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we are putting you first. Thank you that you're going to meet our needs and your will is going to be done in our life. Thank you for restoration. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.